Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month med plus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Hello and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And today we are doing something very special. So today we are covering season 4, episode 2 of Love on the Spectrum. This is a Netflix show, a reality show. So we covered season 4, episode 1 with Chris Farah from Vanity Farah on her feed. So if you are just coming directly here, you probably want to go over there to Vanity Fair. Listen to episode 1. We did a collab with her and then come back here and listen to episode 2. Anything else?
Yes. Bryce? No, it was okay. It was fun. We love Love on the Spectrum and It's a good show and a good conversation. So listen to episode 1, Vanity Farah, and then come back here. Or you can do it the opposite way if you prefer.
Get crazy.
It doesn't really matter because we broke it up. So you can, It doesn't really matter. Either way, just listen to both.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Hello, everyone. So we are here with Chris Farah from Vanity Farah.
Hi.
Which is such a great name for a podcast, I just want to say. It's like, I don't know. Did you come up with that yourself?
Nope. Not at all. I was on YouTube for like 10 years before. And then someone was like, you know, be a great name, Vanity Farah. And I was like, yoinks, took it and then opened. I've had a Facebook group called Vanity Farah for years because of it. I have to pay that person. I don't even know who it is now.
Yeah.
And no, well, now I'm gonna pay you.
No, sometimes someone tells you something that's so like, oh, why didn't I see that? It was right there. So we are joined by her. Hopefully you've all gone over to Vanity Farah and listened to episode 1. This is Love on the Spectrum season 4. We just covered episode 1 on her channel and here we are, we're covering episode 2. So should we just start? I mean, where do we start? Because we start with Tyler, but I don't know if you want to save that one.
Oh, I was going to say there was kind of a cliffhanger at the end of episode one. So let's pick up on that. We were talking about Madison and Tyler having their romantic Valentine's Day McDonald's dinner at that cute little outdoor restaurant. And I thought he was going to propose to her.
Yeah. And maybe that's episode 3. We don't know.
It's so interesting because I'm like, I don't know if they've had physical relations yet. And I don't know if that's where, you know, I don't know if they are, they might be saving themselves for, you know, the big MD. I don't know. That's what's marriage called? Medical degree. Same thing. I mean, my dad wanted me to marry a doctor. So that's why I said that. But yeah, you know, you're right. They absolutely set us up to be like, is he about to pop the question? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does actually ask her a question, but it's not what we think it's going to be.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought, I was like, oh, he's got like a good voice. I'm enjoying him. I'm just like, I love Tyler.
I love Tyler. He has a lot of energy. Confidence. Yeah, yes. He's got good energy. And they do like to kiss. They kiss a lot.
Oh, Brooke, I want to go back and make you watch. Okay, on the last season, you should have seen, they start kissing in front of Madison's dad and Madison's mom, who have never seen Madison be physically affectionate with anyone. And to watch that man watch his Tyler kiss his daughter, I mean, over and over again, and how many times they got to be like, all right there, buddies, got it. Well, get some room for the holy. I mean, it happens so much. Your face just melts off. It is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the beauty of this show. And we were talking in the first episode about how, you know, these folks are so open with their feelings and you know, they just express themselves. And whoever might be watching, you know, who cares?
Well, I think I found that during this whole sequence with the gifts and then the little hearts and the candies and all that, to watch her face often, it was really, it's almost like you're seeing how, it's funny because I think that if you didn't know what was going on, you would think she was unhappy. But when you do really get it, you're seeing the gravity of it all, of like when she goes up and kisses him in the middle of the, I think it was during the meal or in the middle of the meal. And you feel that. It's that feeling of like, you see me, you love me. This is so nice. This is what I've been wanting. This is what I thought it was going to be. And it's here. And it's funny just to, cause she, her expressions are, you see pain on her face, I guess is a better way of saying it. Yeah. And
you know, it's hard. It feels like maybe it's uncomfortable for her to make eye contact. Mm. And obviously that is something that could easily, that has, it's hard for me to make eye contact. And that is, you know, autistic people, I think, that struggle with that. Some of them do. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, like, if you get more comfortable with someone, like, does that help? But at the same time, if you are just experiencing so much emotion, like good and bad, like the overwhelming feelings of the emotion can just be sometimes a little too much to take in everything,
yeah.
Take in someone's like adoring eyes. Like,
yeah,
you know, yeah. To just like, to feel Tyler loves her, you know, like Tyler adores her, you know? And like, I think as much as she does like love him, it's like, sometimes it's almost too, sometimes the beauty of it is almost too much. I think
yeah.
for her body to hold.
Yes. You know? Yes. And I think that's what reads on her face, because there's one point where she kisses him, her eyes are wide open. Mm-hmm. And it was almost just a little bit like, it, you know, cause, but I don't think that was intentional. I think it was just the emotion of everything.
Emma's making very intense eye contact. I mean, not very intense, but Emma doesn't seem like she has a problem making eye contact.
Madison. Oh, are you talking about Emma?
Yes,
yeah.
As opposed to
Madison.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I think you're right. You're right. That's interesting. Where is Plant City? Can we establish this one first? Where were they living before?
Yeah, Plant City, I mean, they say Florida, but having said that to you, I can't tell you where in Florida, like if it's Miami, honey, is it 10, you know, is it?
But they lived an hour away from each other. So they were commuting, and now she lives.
I thought it was more than an hour.
Oh, I thought that was what there was this distance between the two. But I don't know. Do they drive? Like, I think it seemed like it was a big distance. And then I was thinking, so does this brother want to live in Plant City?
Yeah.
Like,
about that.
Yeah.
Like, why? Seemed like the brother was already living there and now she's moving in with him. How does he feel about that?
Mm, yeah.
What is the backstory with the brother? Do you know?
I don't know what he's doing in Plant City. I would say I thought they had just almost bought that condo. I felt like that was a new space for both of them. I don't know. That was just, but I don't remember them saying either way about it.
I think my concern would be, did this brother have a choice in the matter?
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. That's a very common thing that happens. And this was the other thing I mentioned in the last episode, Born This Way. This is something that also happened with that was we meet the parents, but we also meet a lot of the siblings. And to be a sibling of someone who is neurodivergent or has a disability there, you know, that's challenging as well, just in a different way. So I was like, is this a good thing for him? That's just what I was curious about. So. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Cause the sense I got was that the parents were like, you know, this is happening. You're going to have to live with your sister, whether yeah. you like it or not. Cause I'm sure he loves his sister, but I don't know if he wants her living there in his bachelor pad.
I mean, that's a lot of beads. There's a lot of bracelets in your bachelor pad.
Oh, you know? Yes.
And the dolls.
The dolls and the, yeah, all the of dolls. It.
Well, yeah. I mean, that they do hide in a room and he, you know, yeah, that is interesting. I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer. And I want to.
Yeah.
I hope we find out.
Yes. But these parents, man, just like the other parents, they're just rolling along, like unpacking doll after doll after doll. I mean, okay.
She had so much stuff. They had like a pretty long U-Haul truck that was full to the brim with just boxes and boxes of I don't know what. It's a lot of stuff for a young woman.
American, all of her things and a Christmas tree.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Right. And the Guardian Christmas Angel.
Yes. Yeah.
And the bracelets, the beads, you know?
Yeah.
She loves lavender. She loves lilac.
Yeah.
God bless her.
So they just end up. So Tyler doesn't propose. He wants to sing the song. Is this their song? Have they ever sung this to each other?
They've never sung this song before. No. But then we're like, this is my thoughts. I don't know every country music song, but I was mm-hmm. like, they would have to get the rights if it was like Country Road, mm-hmm. take me home.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're singing this song makes me feel like he wrote it and he loves country music and that would make sense. Now she mm-hmm. knows every word.
Yes. Yes.
She's heard the song before. She loves the song.
Yes.
So then I was like, yeah, is this like his little ditty?
Oh God. Does he sing it to her constantly?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Listen, Abby sang last season her beautiful mm-hmm. song. And she wrote it. So I do think there's like a propensity to express oneself through the arts.
Yes. Well, we see Emma. Sorry. We do see Emma later on
mm-hmm. and
express that. But I had my brain went through the exact same thing of like, oh, is this a popular song? Oh, wait a minute. You know, oh no, I think it's his. No, wait, is she singing along? Then it has to be a popular song. Wait, no, I've never heard it before.
Okay, it's called Living on Love. So you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to
Living on Love.
Living on Love, honey. That's okay. What it's called? Not Living in a Prayer, which is what would come up if you started writing Living. Oh my God, there's a song called Living on Love by Alan Jackson.
Oh.
You know, say some vows and spread their wings and settle down with just what they,
That's probably it, huh?
I mean, I don't know because, again, I don't know this song. But, yes, he sang a song from 1994.
Okay. So she must know.
She knows that song.
Country music. Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Maybe no proposal, but
maybe next episode.
Yes. The season is young.
But, again, Madison, I just want to say, 7 months to me still feels a little short. You know what I mean? I feel like, because when he started, when he was like having her sit down and all that, the guy with the music, I was like, oh no, 7 months. No. You know, as much as maybe she thinks she wants this, it's still only 7 months. So anyway.
Everyone wants a fairy tale. And that's another like universal thing of like, how many people do we know that are not, are neural quote unquote typical that like, you're like, you've made such bad decisions because you are like, you want some sort of fake fairy tale or you mm-hmm. think this is supposed mm-hmm. to be that. I mean, I know I was raised, you know, as a Disney loving kid of the 90s. I certainly know what it's like to have like, you know, no female role models because they just died somewhere, honey. And then I've just been, this is not real, but you know, like mm-hmm. how people from a certain Disney generation were led to believe that a prince comes in, you know, then your life starts.
Yeah.
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 Well, our generation too, but that's interesting because the Disney theme comes up a lot mm-hmm. in Love on the Spectrum. And so I don't know, what do you think about that? I mean, there's a, like you said, there's the obvious scenario that you just talked about, but it feels like there's more of a Disney connection. I don't know.
Hannah Montana of it all.
Yeah.
There's something mm-hmm. about to me, this is my theory, and I want to hear all of your theories too. This is very actory of me to say this.
Mm-hmm.
That if processing the real world is confusing to you, if it's unclear how to live or how people work in this world, but you do get like a study of the world in stories, in movies, in mm-hmm. theater, where you're like, oh, that's what life. Okay, so that's what life is. Okay, wait. So how do I marry what I understand how life works from like, those people look like they're in love and then they're in love and then he likes her. He says that. Oh, she likes him. They say that. Now they're mm-hmm. going to get married. Okay. That seems like it's step A, step B, step, mm. step C. It's very difficult to like translate that to the day in, day out present moment of this actual kind of weird life,
mm-hmm.
kind of mundane, stifling, boring sometimes, you know, like.
Right? Yeah. Right. I mean, that's what entertainment is, entertainment, because it's entertaining. Like it basically, this is why they have the montage, you know, I mean, nobody wants to actually lose weight. We just want the montage of losing weight. Like anytime something happens in a movie that's kind of boring, they montage it and they know that because no one wants to watch it. So I think that's the, that's, cause I was trying to think, like, Madison was born in 1998, 1999, you know, how, you know, so, you know, what, and I don't remember the Disney princess thing with the, outfits and the clothes and the shoes and all that stuff that Brooke's daughter Layla went through. Like, we didn't really have, there was, we had Barbies and such, but I don't, we didn't have like this, industrial complex of like, you know, every time a new
industrial,
every time a new Disney princess movie came out, there wasn't this big thing of like, now you need everything that's got to do with Belle or whomever. So I didn't feel that. So I was looking at these women going, well, what's going on for you that this is, you're so attached to this. And again, I think that, I don't know. I have my own theories. I think one is that so much of the story is, there's not a lot of gray area in these stories. It's pretty much like you're good or you're bad, you're this or you're that. And I do think that with your neurodivergence, there is a lot of life is full of gray areas. And that's the stuff where that makes some people anxious. It makes a lot of people anxious, not just neurodivergent, but everybody. But you know, you see someone like James who, you know, has a lot of anxiety and needs control. So there's something very appealing about a story that's straightforward and so simple. And okay, there you go. This is what it is. And in some ways, yeah, it's easier to say this is what love is. This is what we want love to be, but it's not.
People will tell you that they love you and they don't.
Yes.
Either because they don't and they want something for you, or they are trying to love you and they can't. Mm-hmm. Like, there is so much gray area and it's so uncomfortable. And yeah, I think that's astute.
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to that whole thing of like, there's lots of people that we'll meet in our lives that are, you know, could be a soulmate that would be perfect for us, but not meant to be. Like, we love each other, but we can't live together. You know, cause whatever reason.
You're messy. Yeah. You like to do one weird thing in the butt area. So you know, like there's a billion reasons. You can cut that out if you want to.
That's fine.
But yeah, like it is hard to find a soulmate. And yet, you know, people are raised to believe that some people just fall in love at first sight.
Yeah.
Some people just find their soulmate. And some people just know when they know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All those cliches.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. It brings order to
chaos. Life. Yeah. And it's all chaos because how do we feel, you know, the people in our lives, this is why we love animals so much. Cause again, it's very straightforward. My dog loves me. I love my dog. You know, you're not upset because you loaned your dog $30 and he never paid you back. You're not upset with your dog because, you know, they didn't show up for you that time when you did the school play. And you know what I mean? It's all of that. So I think there's something about that. And that's why we attach so much to entertainment in general, because it gives us what we want in real life.
Control.
Yeah.
Like you said, and Brooke, like also just like to problem solve the thing that is life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Is there more?
Got that figured out.
Yeah.
Well, great. First of all, you should get this episode should be like $1 million, honey. You should get a masterclass.
That's right. We've figured it out.
Yeah. There you go. There's love. Was there anything else with Madison and Tyler or Madison in general? I know it's Madison's story. I don't have anything
else.
Not
in episode two, but if you want to talk a little bit of how many episodes you guys watched, we're going to see, the families coming together, which we had never seen. Madison's family meet Tyler. We'd only met Tyler, like how we don't know Shelley's family yet.
Mm-hmm.
But in the later episodes of this season, we get to meet Tyler's family. First of all, Tyler just stole his mom's face. Just like came out of the womb, mm-hmm. Just like, wait, doctor. Cut, 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 cut. And just face off her, honey, the same face. But yeah, so I find that thrilling.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm excited for that. All right. So where should we move? The next, should we go back to, because Emma's on her date with Austin.
Let's do it.
All right.
Well, we already talked about the...
Have we talked about that? I guess I have some additional notes that...
this is just the end of it where she says we should just be friends.
Okay. Okay. I just wrote down that Austin likes snakes and spiders.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell how she felt about that one either. But yeah, it was just, they were already in the dome thing, right? Yeah. By the time we get to episode two, it was just, the whole thing was just really painful to watch. All of them.
Like, I almost choked on a bone. And she was like, so, why'd you, you know, like, you know, just like, I, for someone who had the, in this moment, I'm like, oh, I wish I could hear your thoughts. Emma, can you pull a little James? I want to see what's happening. I do want to hear your thoughts. She is good natured about it. I mean, she does have like, you know, she really is just sitting and just biding time until mm-hmm. she knows she can do the good old cutoff. But
yeah,
the next scene that we get to see her is her art.
Yes, the school mm-hmm. performance. And what did you think of this? I was like, God, I love this women's empowerment. Like going back to the Disney princess, I feel like this was her saying, hey, you know, maybe I need to fight against this or what am I doing here? And I was like, look at you go, Emma.
I loved it. I loved it. Yeah. It's like at first she's, you know, as women sometimes can be, she is forced to be preoccupied by her looks. And so she mm-hmm. has a mild panic attack because her lipstick isn't on. And her dad's like, get over it. And I want to be like, no, dad, hold that goddamn
yeah.
She's going to the fucking bathroom and give her as much time to like, I mean, if she's going to put on a red lip, it's going to take a minute. And that's fine with patience. And she comes out. It's a great red on her.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great. I'm like, is that Charlotte Tilbury? Which one is that? Mm. And then she sings her song, My Own... I put down My Own Fairy Tale. And
yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, this song starts and I don't know who cries more, me or her. She speaks of loneliness in mm-hmm. a way in this song that is...
No.
I mean, I just was like, because she is so pure and so open about it. And you know, that's how she feels. And her mom knows. And she is just singing it, you know, like so loudly. I felt everything that her mom was feeling was just like, I think that her mom is just like, I gave birth to such a very brave person.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the best for her in this world. Isn't always like really fair, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's really sometimes such a beautiful show. I'm going to take my mic off for a second.
No, it is.
It's a beautiful moment. Yeah.
I'm moved by seeing your being moved because that's really, God, how many shows do we even have that could really even get you to that point, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think with so much, especially now with reality TV and so many people producing it, how much it's so produced that there mm-hmm. is something about this. And this is why Born This Way was really interesting at the time because it was this very like pure-hearted, good thing to watch. And what I loved about the song was that it was like in this, I just love songs that kind of go on a story and it's sort of like this, we're hearing her realizations about everything about love and romance and maybe I need to save myself and all of that. But again, I don't think that a neurotypical person could not write this song. That's the other part of it too. Like I think what you're really responding to is not only is this a performance in front of her classmates that takes guts, it's on TV, that takes even more guts. Singing it yourself and something you wrote, even more guts. And then to put yourself out there and really share with people what's going on. I mean, people write vulnerable songs, but there's still some performative parts of it. You know,
still holding back too.
Yes.
Here there's no self-editing. She's not worried about, oh, well, if I say that line that people are going to think I'm this or that. She's just putting it all out there.
Yeah.
I know. Fearless.
Yes. Yes.
It's interesting to me. She's one line that ends the song to me, like kind of harkens back to what Logan had said in the first episode. She's lonely in the song, of course. And she says that she's going to come down and off of her tower. Being stuck like in a lonely tower, kind of like Rapunzel-esque. And she says that she will take charge and she will decide the details of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is like this inspiration to like give autonomy, you know, like, or to take autonomy, you know, like at a certain age, especially if you've been sheltered or you've been told you have to be somewhat protected because of hair neurodivergence or whatever, mm-hmm. but to like be given the space and also to claim the space of like taking charge of your life, you mm-hmm. know, like, and having listened to so many people for so long, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's layered too, because she's LDS, right? Like there's mm-hmm. that other part of because what you're, because really my guess would be the parents are trying to strike a balance between giving their kids what they need, the parenting that they need, but also allowing them to have independence and all of that. But I, so if that's Emma's situation, you know, if that's where they're at, then you add the conservative nature and what is expected of you. And this is what we see in Mormon wives, like all these women getting married, having kids,
getting you know, divorced, and then having, you know, I think about, yeah. And then just being, you know, who knows, stuck in a situation where I think like, sometimes I'm like, especially now with them, like, can Layla move out of Utah, you know, because mm. yeah. sons like who has primary custody, it just, Emma gets a standing yeah. ovation. So yes. I'll tell you that, like, if I was already crying, which obviously I was, when she gets a fucking standing ovation, I like boo-hoo as loud as like, the boo-hooiest who's. Like, I mean, I wail, you know, like everyone gives her a standing O, and she deserves it. And
yeah.
I'm so happy for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Emma.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see. I feel like she's going to do something big.
Well, yeah, I mean, do we have any idea around how these dates are set up? From my understanding from the first season that there is someone behind the scenes, like interviewing people and matchmaking a little bit, right?
So, yeah. So is this the episode? Yeah. So, okay, great. We know Jennifer Cook. Jennifer yes. Cook is, okay. So she has been on multiple seasons and she looks a little, I don't think she always had that red hair, but she is helping people on the journey. I think that she has been like a little bit of an instrument in the docuseries to sort of like, A, give people scripts and dialogue to be able to like talk themselves out of like dating. It's funny because I feel like her moments with Logan aren't as intense and or maybe what we saw as educational as like some of the first episodes where she really would be saying the things I mm-hmm. kind of talked about where this is how we cleanly end a date.
Yes.
You know, we are able to just say this. These are the verbiage. It's totally fine. You know, if you aren't interested in them like that, you just say that. And then you know, so yes, that aspect of it is there. One other aspect is their dates are always in beautiful places. Like it truly feels like they are setting people up for a great experience, you know, mm-hmm. like always a gorgeous restaurant or like a lovely, like nature filled space that, you know, either like sparks conversation or like, I don't know, observation. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot of flowers, but yeah, we've seen a lot of like lemon parks, a lot of like
the zoo.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, this actually works. Yeah.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
So I think we can move on.
For real life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, what I kept thinking was when we meet Jennifer Cook, which actually is, let's talk about Logan. I remember thinking, we all need a Jennifer Cook. Like, really, truly, this is the stuff we need in high school and in college. This is the stuff mm-hmm. you need. Like,
we got Patty Stanger instead.
Yes. Oh, God.
I really think about that. Really,
well, we had like Dr. Ruth. I don't know who was talking. No one was talking about
Dr. Laura.
I mean, who knows? But yeah, everyone needs the stuff that she was saying. I'm like, yeah, this is just basic stuff that I swear to God, I think most young men, especially men, need. You know, tell me more about that. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah.
You know? Yes,
and what she just said, listen to what she just said, and then ask a follow-up question about that. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to compliment her, like, yeah, make it not about her body. He doesn't mm-hmm. say that, but, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, well, he was so excited to meet Jennifer Cook. He was beyond excited with himself.
I know. I'm sorry, it's not Miley Cyrus.
Well.
We can't have Miley, you know.
Yeah.
Second best thing.
Yeah,
I mean, at some point they have to get Miley Cyrus to do like a guest spot on Love.
Oh gosh,
come on! Yes. I mean, it's actually coinciding with the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, I was going to say there's some synergy right now. She's into being Hannah Montana again, right? Like it seems like she's willing to do it. So I think you're absolutely right. I mean, but it is funny when they talk about these dates. It does have that Bachelor feeling. So it's like, yeah, just like with The Bachelor, they're bringing in celebrities. Right. So Miley can do this.
Season 4, honey.
Logan, he's gets dressed up in his suit jacket. He looks like he's, you know, getting ready to go to the prom. He put on way too much cologne.
Yes. I was very nervous about this.
Yeah.
To me, I'm like, is there just not any cologne left in that bottle and you're just pushing the buttons, you know, or is every spray full blast?
Yeah, no, that bottle looked at least blast. 3/4 full. So yeah. I was, every pump, I was like, oh, no, stop.
He's a smeller. He's a smeller too. Remember how he was like, don't worry, I won't smell Jennifer Cook when I see her. And when he was like in the suits, he was like, she's like, his sister was like, buddy, like Holy Spirit between you and those suits. He's like, what's okay. You know, yeah. His sensory thing is he's a smeller.
Yeah. He likes to, but I would think that he likes smell. So why would you want, you don't want too much cologne.
He loves that smell. I wonder what cologne it was.
Yeah. I was John expecting mom and sister to be like, whoa, you gotta go shower. Take the jacket. I mean, that's what I was thinking, and neither of them said anything. So maybe they
nose blind.
Well, or maybe they know Logan so well that that's filled with water. Like maybe they watered down the cologne so much so that it's like once he sprays all that spray, it's like just kind of like one quick spritz.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Maybe that's what they're doing. It's probably not the best because you're kind of lying to the person, but.
Or saving them money.
Yeah. But saving them. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing worse than smelly to like cologne. And I don't know if I've ever really dated anyone who wore like a ton of cologne for any kind of length of time.
Yeah.
I find it kind of.
My dad wears cologne, you know, like, yeah, my dad wears cologne, but I'm trying to think I have, or if it was so subtle, but.
No, but you know, with Logan.
Okay. Do you remember Cool Waters? I remember the last male fragrance I cared about was Cool Waters. And like, that's a very 90s reference. Like I used to know the smell of Cool Waters. And I also know the smell of Old Spice deodorant very well. Mm-hmm. Now some, you know, I'm like, I'm Arab. I'm like Lebanese, Syrian, or whatever, God bless. So a lot of like Arabs used to love Baccarat Rouge or whatever. It was also Drake's favorite cologne for a long time. And if you smell Baccarat Rouge, it's a very intense musky smell. So sometimes I smell it, but it's a unisex smell, so it could be anyone. Anyway.
I like a man who smells good.
Yeah.
Well, but not me. I don't want the cow pasture kind of smell.
You don't mind the cologne.
You want to be with Austin at the cow pasture. And
oh, I love talking about salmon bones. Oh, honey, don't even start. I hate snowmen, and I miss everything. Everything flies over my head.
Yeah. Well, lucky for Emma, I think she had the worst date of her life and she's gotten that over with. And
yes,
up from here.
Yes.
With Austin.
But, yes. All right. So let's talk about Logan's date.
His date, when he struts in. Sorry. The last thing I'll say is, you said, Tess, that Logan is funny and like he knows it sometimes. Right. Mm-hmm. And this was the moment that I knew he knew it. So yes, he does all the spray and then he comes in to see his mom and his sister who are never say anything about that. But the way that he struts in is funny. And he knows it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a professional comedian, that's the only thing I can give. I'm obviously not a therapist, not a lawyer. But I will tell you that I know if someone wants to be funny and he wanted to be funny in that moment and he was. So
Yeah,
I can't remember if he said this when he was still at home or when he was walking up to the restaurant. He's like, I deserve this. I need this. You know, he's giving himself a little.
This was my favorite
talk. Yeah. But yeah, so he's in Las Vegas. So he goes to this restaurant on the strip.
The Palazzo
restaurant.
Yes. And I just want to say a Vegas casino is like the worst place to be if you're neurodivergent. I mean, I'm like. Yeah, no, I understood this, but I'm like, oh God, did this poor guy have to walk through? They make you walk through the casino no matter what. You know, it's Vegas.
I bet they give them headphones.
Probably. But yeah.
That's very real. Yeah, the Palazzo is the like new building off of Venetian. I just stayed there because I went to go see Andrew Dice Clay.
I love 90s.
I saw him years ago.
Yeah. What inspired you?
This is so random, but my dad loves Andrew Dice Clay. It was his birthday, so I ordered a cameo from Andrew Dice Clay. And when I got the cameo, it was 15 minutes long.
And wow.
And
what a guy.
he was, I mean, he, this, his shtick is shticky, but at the same time, his like, you know, just, yeah, stream of consciousness of and generosity with his time. I was like, well, okay, fine. I'll buy it. I'll go. Mm-hmm. Took my dad.
And how was it? Was it, did he use old material? New material? Did it not funny?
Not for me. And the reason why was like across the board, attendees mm-hmm. and actual like, yeah, actual comedy content. Not for me, but I appreciate, you know, yeah. he's mildly successful. Good for him.
Yeah. Listen, it takes guts. No matter who you are, it takes guts to get up there and do it. So it sounds like maybe he has not updated his.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I doubt he's updated his material.
And I'm sure it doesn't land very well.
It's very, very crass. Mm-hmm. But there's, I don't know. I always thought that there was something funny about it. I don't know. Not, mm-hmm. I don't know. It was, you know. Anyway.
You're not alone. He's sold out Madison Square Garden. I mean, he's a, yeah, you're not alone. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Recently, of course. But so Haley, let's talk. Do you want
to? Yes. Let's talk about Haley. So I was a little nervous in the beginning, and I could feel, you know, that anxiety of both of them and him. And, but hands down, I mean, it's unfortunately this is going to be on a podcast, but he had the moment, like Logan had the moment of, oh, she's coming. You know, let me look casual, almost like, who was it? Amber in the reveal on Love is Blind this last season where she poses.
Yes. We're just like, just, yeah, I can't do it. Just like, oh my God. Yes, honey.
Yeah.
Like, popped out leg, honey. Yes. He,
yeah.
I mean, struck. Oh pose.
Yeah. Yeah. He struck a pose. He's got the roses. He looked mm-hmm. good.
I'm yeah. Sorry. He looked great.
If I walked up to the table, he looked good.
Those roses are easily $75. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not. Plastic no,
very
roses.
Pretty.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Not like, you know, plastic wrap roses. Those are paper wrapped roses. They're expensive. Mm-hmm. She's so cute. Haley walks up in a bodycon dress. I mean, she's mm-hmm. body, yaddy, yaddy, mm-hmm. and straight ass hair.
Yeah.
Just not curvy straight.
Not curly or
straight.
Curvy. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But, so, yeah.
She
yeah.
was very nervous, and she responded by, you know, just peppering him with questions and information and just this random stuff. Like she says, she likes hockey players, fighting men in suits. She doesn't like scorpions or drivers breaking the rules. I mean, she just had, you know, a laundry list.
But I was a little nervous that she was getting the ick for Logan when he was not asking her questions back. He was doing a mm-hmm. good job of tell me more about that and some of these mm-hmm. other things. But I was just like, Logan, now ask her something, you know? But in that moment, he just looked like a deer in the headlights. Like he's just responding to the questions. And, you know, I think he was so overwhelmed.
Totally. Kind of like a little bit like Madison, where in the beginning, I knew that he was like, you know, I knew that he was excited about the situation. But when he first kind of look at his face, when she's talking to him, he seems obsessed, not the right word. He seems just like studying her in a way that if you didn't know what was happening, you might think that he was not into it or like mm-hmm. wanted to not be there. But we are seeing someone who, you know, like, can't control their face, you know,
yeah.
you know, but doesn't mm-hmm. need to, it's not part of their, you know, whatever, just doesn't, you know, yeah. doesn't.
It's a lot like Madison, you know, how Madison's face, you can't always know what's going on, but yeah.
Psych Legal Pop will be right back after these messages.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team. and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips, like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Yeah, so they talked about what his favorite colors. I mean, we were really digging here at the bottom of the barrel with some of these topics. I was like, uh-oh, she's losing. She's like, oh my God, what am I going to, favorite
she
color? Like
right at camera. And do you think that, I thought she was going to call off the date. I thought at one point she was going to go, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, guys, I can't. I thought that she was in like, because she had done like a Jim Halpert from The Office. And then she said, oh my goodness. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I was nervous. Did he clock that? Did he recognize that? I don't think so. Yeah. I don't remember.
She said she was 30 and I was like, oh girl, I didn't see that coming either.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's a food service worker.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls her a lunch lady later. I was like,
he's not wrong.
She's like, what do you do? He's like, computer stuff. And I'm like, Logan, video games, Mario Kart, Logan, come on.
Yeah. We don't know if Logan's working or not.
Yeah.
Or if he's in school, or we don't know what Logan's up to.
Right.
So yeah, Logan, don't be putting her down.
Cause what, Logan's like 25?
He's 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that's an older woman.
But the best is when he mentioned trains. She, look on her face. He's like, I like trains. I like, you know, videos of trains. And just the look on her face of like, are you kidding me? Trains?
I know. And again,
it was it was rough going there for a while there. But I feel like towards the end, it started to pick itself up. I think it felt like he got more comfortable. I don't know what happens in episode 3, but it seemed like he was getting more comfortable, that we're moving in a better direction.
She's 5 years older than him. Mm-hmm. In this conversation, he does seem like he obviously holds on to things that are a little infantile. So it could be, you know, it does feel like a little bit of a mismatch, if I was to be honest, even though she and him do have some similarities, like fuck Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
She hates American Dad. I'm like, well, if you Family Guy, then of course you hate American Dad. I mean, come on, you have to say that. You know, I'm like, but girl, South Park ain't bad. Mm-hmm. They do come together, though. I mean, and when they come together over a common love, I found it beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's literally the same common denominator as all four characters on Golden Girls. Okay, I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
I watched a lot of Golden Girls going up.
No.
All the episodes of Golden Girls, honey, they end up just going in the kitchen eating cheesecake. That's like what happens. Okay. So he loves cheesecake. He's like, guess what? I'm going to make my sister make some cheesecake. The dessert menu comes and they're like, what do you want? Cheesecake? And they're like, share cheesecake. And I mean, when they decide to share cheesecake, it is a little bit like, I see you.
Yeah. No, that cheesecake moment was very special because, you know, cheesecake isn't always, you know, it's not chocolate cake. It's not the ice cream. It's like a little bit like carrot cake, you know, you either love it or hate it, you know?
Yeah.
And so when they had that moment, I was like, okay, maybe that's when I was like, okay, maybe there's something here. Maybe there's something more here, but you're right. I don't think, I didn't realize that she was 30, but yeah, I knew she was older than him. I didn't clock that it was 5 years. So yeah, I don't know if this is going to work long term. You know what I mean? Despite the cheesecake, I don't think she's going to want to keep doing this. Right. You know, he might just be too young for her.
He says, when she goes to the bathroom, he says, if she loves me, I'll love her back.
Yes.
Which is remember that song, like, if you kiss me, then I'll kiss you back. And I swear to God, the next line is, and if you love me, then I'll love you back. Do you guys know what song I'm singing?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know you know that song.
I know the song. I can't think of the artist, though, but I know what you're talking about.
Can you give me a little look of it? Come on. Your best
album. No. No, I can't. I'm worried. I'm worried for Logan now because he's like, you're the nicest girl I've ever known. And oh, he's just falling so hard. And I just feel like he's going to get his little heart broken.
Yeah.
Have you ever given a nice gentleman a taste of your sweetness and then watched them dive right in full heartedly? Because I've had that happen to me.
Where someone like falls in love with you very quickly and now they're all over you?
Yeah, because I was nice to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, well, that men are notorious for that because they take any little bit of attention and run with it. If they like you, if they're attracted to you, it doesn't take much.
There's the rub. Because I can definitely give a lot of attention to a lot of people that don't give me shit, but it's so funny sometimes. Yeah.
I was going to say, I just dated a lot of bad boys until I met my very sweet husband. But like bad boys don't, the minute they know you like them, they're running for the hills. So I don't know what that's like. It's just so happy. I don't know. And I also get the sense that Haley's probably a little more experienced. She's been on some dates. I don't know. Logan needs, I feel like, I don't know, whoever made this match, I feel like they should have picked someone around his age, maybe a little bit younger, and maybe someone else who's a little, maybe on his level. I feel like she's not right for him. She might be better with Connor or something like that. I don't know.
Did you watch Millionaire Matchmaker?
Yeah.
Great. Remember how Patty Stinger, besides being horrible, would do sometimes a thing where she would set someone up like with like a match that wasn't perfect and then so I sometimes wonder like if they're kind of doing that because I think that Logan, since this is his first date and since, you know, he does have like a little bit to learn. And so I wonder if they were just like, let's get someone who can hold a conversation. Let's get someone who's really good at that like question situation, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I could see that one too. I don't know. I'm sure. And I don't know. I don't know how many people they have to choose from. So that's the other part of it too.
Right.
So is there anything else about Logan and Haley that we missed?
Well, I can, you know, from episode 3, we can go on and I can tell you, do you want me to tell you what happens?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So she comes back and she says that she likes him mostly.
Mostly. And okay.
And that when he asks her for another date, she says yes. And then he quickly asks her for a kiss and or a hug, and she picks hug.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's good. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
It's his first date.
Yeah.
Ask for that consent.
Yeah. No, I was going to say,
I'm sure
like,
what's your name
in my era, that. There was no consent. Like, no one ever asked you anything. Yes.
Okay, I guess. I've made mistakes.
All right.
Okay.
Are we ready for, is this Connor?
Connor. Where do we start with Connor?
We start with Connor. He's talking to the dog.
Yes. About Australia.
Yes.
The perils of Australia.
And I have to say, I think he and this dog have had a lot of conversations because I get the sense the dog really is like, really? Tell me more. Okay, great. Yeah, also went with Jennifer Cook at some point.
In the eyes, a lot of follow-up questions.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's talking in this very like dramatic English accent. He's very dramatic when he talks.
Like James. Yeah, but he's got some great lines. I mean, That whole knife thing, I think they say that earlier. That knife, I mean, that must be a famous quote, but I was like, it was so astute. It was like, this blade is neither good nor bad. It tells you the character of the person holding it. I'm like, God, that's deep. I'm like,
is that from a Shakespeare play or something?
Probably, but it was really, yeah. I was like, or maybe it was just, maybe it was him. Maybe it was just Connor.
Connor.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Connor is my favorite. I really like him. Mm-hmm. Like,
Connor's is my favorite house husband on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and Connor is, listen, it's a great name.
Yes. Yes. He's talking to Coco about Australia and what's going on. And then he doesn't bring up the mere wolves here, the werewolves. But
kangaroos,
and then
it's like kangaroos and didgeridoos.
That's right. Kangaroos and didgeridoos. And then mom comes in and then they start preparing. Mom asks them some questions about like the date, but then they start preparing. I guess they're going to prepare this very English tea for Georgie. And he's got to ask this big question, which is, where are we at, Georgie?
where is this relationship?
Where are we going with this relationship, yeah. Georgie? What's going to happen? And so where did they go to this really, because they live in Atlanta, right? So mm-hmm. he goes to this really gorgeous house. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, I didn't clock where it was or what, but I was like, okay,
looks
now
like,
we're here.
Like an old mansion.
Yeah.
Like on a plantation or something.
He was like, this is Barrington House, the oldest house. I was like, oh God, bless you. You know, he really did like, you know, he read the plaque, honey.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He did. He did. So
there were a lot of bugs.
Yes.
A lot of bugs.
So what can you tell us a little bit about Georgie, like what's she like? Because he met her last season, right? So what's her story?
You know what? A little bit like that we know. I still want to know more about her because mm-hmm. we don't know her backstory. Like she was a date that, you know, it's kind of like how we meet any of the first dates, right? Like, you know, we don't get to know her yet. We just got to see their progression. Hopefully we get to meet like more of her family and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. She's just a lovely kind of soft-spoken neurodiverse lady that like, you know, kind of like has a bohemian vibe. She's always mm-hmm. been like a little earthy or like, you know, like and specifically because that's not Connor's like aesthetic, right? Like
yes.
Connor is, you know, like very like old timey, if you will. And yeah, she's kind of like a hippie, you know, that like, mm-hmm. but she's very just like easygoing and soft, very soft spoken, like kind voice, you know, and definitely makes him feel like in the moment viscerally at peace, you know. Mm. And they had a very romantic kiss last season that was like gorgeously filmed and cinematic. And it does feel like there's a marketed difference because he of course spoke of the fact that sometimes when he goes in to like kiss her that she pulls away or whatnot. And so when we see her again, she doesn't seem as excited to be around him. It does feel like there's something like weighing on her. And of course, I know you're going to, they talk about it. And then mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear what you think about it.
Yeah, no. I mean, they have the tea and then the bugs right. become too much yeah. and then the rain starts. Well,
the cornrows.
Yes. So can we talk about the cornrows?
Her aesthetic is hippie vibey. Like, you know, like it's.
So she didn't have that last season.
Her hair, she always had like some, like, you know, I think, I can't remember, like one side was shaved. No, she always has like, you know, hippie-esque hair. I can't talk. Yes, braids. It's not full cornrows, but I think that she, you know, does
got
like,
it.
Like that.
So she's always doing something.
Yeah, she's a braider for sure.
Okay,
got it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So they have they eat the sandwiches, which I don't know if this is just me, but there's something about like, do you like salmon and cream cheese? I mean, these people really love salmon. Like, then they're kissing after. You're right. The salmon is kind of little.
I know. And she clocked him being like. She's like, all right, buddy. Yeah. I mean, listen, tea food in itself is like so confusing to me. You know?
It is. Like, it's not really a meal, but it is. It's going to fill you up, but it's not a lot of protein. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I, you know, why not a cheese plate and tea? Like, it should be
yes.
charcuterie and tea. not, yeah, like cold muffins and, you know, yeah, no crust bread. It just
finger sandwiches.
Yeah. Well, I think that's such a difference between Americans and the English, right? It's like the tea and it's so prim and proper. It's like, we want meat and cheese and we want it displayed in this really over the top way. We want meats. We want meat roses, you know, like typical American.
I got so into when you're talking about during COVID, you know, watching, what was that show called?
Tiger King.
No,
what part of COVID are we talking about?
Born this way.
Honey, that's the same time I got into like cheese plates, like nobody's business. Mm. I would just leave that, leave salami out. You can't just roll it into a rose when it's cold. You got to leave it out so it's malleable. Mm-hmm. And then you roll it into roses. And then you got to, put it back in the refrigerator. And you can make your beautiful.
Oh, I didn't know that's how you do it. Okay, good to know.
Well, it does me feel good. But it's interesting that it rains and they move in and then there is some awkwardness and he brings up the dire wolf. And I think that's, I was like, in his mind, this is what I want to ask you guys. Is there a connection between the dire wolf and the conversation of intimacy and affection? Because the dire wolf is being brought back from an extinct. I don't know. You tell me.
I never thought about that. I was just so nervous because I was like, oh God, I didn't know Georgie. So I'm like, how is she going to react to the dire wolves? And then he mentions it and she's like, yeah, she's into it. I'm like, oh, thank God. Oh, okay, good. She's into the dire wolves. I was more like worried that she was going to be so bored by that. I'm still a little confused because when people start talking about dinosaurs and stuff, I'll be honest with you, I start to tune out. Like, some of this stuff is not, like, my brain just does not function that way. So these are wolves that left, like, that we have now, they have new DNA. He was talking about they have this new DNA. And
yeah, like, remember, okay, the biggest thing, look at it. So remember how in Jurassic Park, they found blood of the dinosaur in, like, a mosquito's thing that was, like, just frozen in amber? Like, that's how they got the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs came back because they fucking found the DNA of dinosaurs in mosquito's blood, and the mosquito had been, like, embalmed in, like, amber or whatever, okay? So then they go back and, they do the science, and they make the, dinosaurs, and then they... dinosaurs run fucking amok. They try to put the dinosaurs on an island and then you cannot fucking contain life. And that's what Jurassic Park's about. Now, with the dire wolves, they found a skull of a dire wolf, but like there were holes in the DNA. So that's where he was like, so they just took some of the gray wolf's DNA and then just like plugged up all the holes. Like, it's like, I don't know, is that like cock? I mean, not cock. Yeah. Hey, okay. I mean, when you're putting.
Yeah, are you patching like a crack in a wall?
That's
kind
what
of
I
thing.
Wanted to
like,
say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, okay. Out. I'm glad you explained that because I did not really, because he was like, hey, DNA and gray wolves and what's happening now? So, okay. So now it's like a mix of these two different kinds of wolves. And
oh my gosh.
So are they real? but in real life?
Like there exist dire wolves.
They
made baby dire wolves.
Got it. Okay. All right. Yeah. But anyway, she's into it. You can see why there was something there.
That's why they like each other.
But my favorite part is when he goes, okay, here I go. It reminds me of, I know you've been on Reality Gaze, but one of my favorite Maddie impressions is of Darcy or Stacey. I don't know which one does it, where he's like, okay, here I go. Here I go again, like that sort of every year, like I'm gonna fall in love, it's gonna be time, like here I go again.
Yes. I'm gonna find love. It's so funny, like, do you guys watch The Comeback?
Oh gosh, I haven't watched the new season, but I've watched the other seasons. Yes,
there is something to a certain tenacity to the hopeful person, right?
Yes.
And I guess so Valerie Cherish of Lisa Kudrow's like character is like hopeful of her career and or her fame still being relevant and unless, not so much all the time. But yeah, like this kind of like earnestness and hope is just such a fun thing to play or such a fun thing to see. And he's certainly very earnest. I would say everyone on the show is earnest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that maybe this is what's so nice about it, because I have such a hard time sometimes with some of these people on these other shows where I do believe in the good in people. And it's really hard to say, like, are you just a psychologist? Like, what are you doing behind the scenes? Like, so here it's like, oh, like when you watch, if we go back to Mormon Lives, it's like it's hard to really always root for a lot of these people, right? You're rooting for everybody on the show to find, you know, and you're rooting for Haley and for Austin, even Austin, you know, I'm rooting for Austin. I want him to have, you know, what he wants in life. But yeah, there is something about how just, yeah, why wouldn't you want them to succeed? Like, cause there's nothing, all you want, yeah, don't, you want people to be happy. Damn. So, yeah. But he asks her, he tells her, he says it pretty much off, right? I mean, I don't know if you have the exact words, but it was like very much what mom told him to say. And again, there was like this pause, like, right. What's going to happen?
Uh-huh.
And she says, yes, no, she wants to do this. She's into it.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Did I not understand that? Okay.
No, I'm so sorry. She does. She's like, yes, no, I'm into you romantically. And then he goes, okay, cool. But just, this is where it's confusing, right? And he's like, because sometimes, you know, when I go in to be affectionate with you, this is what he kind of says. We've kissed sometimes. And it almost feels like he's also low-key being like, you pull away from me when we kiss. But at some point, we're going to do more than that. So like,
yeah.
Like, it does almost feel like he is like, are we going to bone at some point?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if does he even really want that. I think maybe it might even be like, I want to kiss and then am I ever going to be able to feel you up? Or I don't know. What's the next logical place to go?
He wants to move in that direction.
Yes. Like,
Yes. Well, makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Yeah.
Brooke, you said it. People are horny.
Yes. Everybody's horny. Said verbatim. Yeah, I don't care who you are. Mm-hmm. Back to
life.
Oh my
God. That's what I said about the Love is Blind Ohio. Were they not the horniest group of people you've ever met? I mean, I was like, Ohio's got it going on. Like, they like to party in Ohio.
God. Yeah. I just, that situation was so funny. Like, yeah, Ohio was, I mean, yeah, those girls and the, like, I actually ended up like really not liking Brie and all those girls, you know, after especially that tell all, like it was just really interesting how like shitty some of those girls were and how they were like a team that was shown. And
and who was the best guy? Sorry. Who was the best guy? Connor.
Another Connor.
God, this is it. Okay,
so find yourself a Connor.
Blown our minds here.
And Connor or bust. I'm only going to date Connors.
Yeah. Now you know.
To me, she says this. And this is what I hear. This is what I heard. And then I want to hear what you heard. And then I want to hear what it is. She's like, sometimes I get uncomfortable because I'm still figuring out what it's like to kiss someone in a romantic way. I'm only used to sort of like kissing like people like my dad or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be very interesting because they've been dating for like a little bit. And I felt like she had kissed him before. And I wondered what part of her like is really, you know, 100% cognizant of her like full sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I think that there's sometimes, it could be like, to me, there's a natural urge to romantically be with someone that you like and who like wants to be with you. But is that really cut and dry? That's what I want to hear. Like,
no,
I'm her answer, I guess is what I should say. I'd be confused.
I think something's off here because you're right. They've been together for almost a year and she doesn't seem like she wants to really even go to the next level beyond kissing every once in a while. Or I mean, maybe does she have questions about her sexuality? Does she have questions about him?
So, but do you think that it's because there's two different things, right? Is it sex or whatever this next stage would be? Is that the thing that scares her or she doesn't know if she wants, or is it him?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I was kind of confused because I couldn't, I mean, when they were kissing at the end, I'm like, I guess it's him, but again, I think she also, like you said, she's very soft spoken. That's why I wanted to know a little bit more about her. Like, is this sort of her temperament? Is this who she is? Because
she was more vocal than Shelley. She was always more vocal than Shelley.
Oh, yeah. So,
like, absolutely. Like, the dog is more vocal than Shelley. Yeah.
I know it. She tended to, like, you know, it's interesting. It's like, obviously, Tyler and Madison both have, you know, obsessions that they're into. And when the other one kind of goes off about the thing that they like, the other one just almost basks in the glow of enjoying watching their loved one obsess over the things they're in love with.
Mm. Make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, like, Georgie is like, loves nature, and she would have, like, she would say in the last season, like, very deep, profound, like, human things, like, where it didn't feel performative. Like, the knife thing feels like, although deep, and he understands intellectually that it's a beautiful statement and he loves it. He memorized it. Mm-hmm. And so Georgie says things sometimes from her heart that I think that really, like, in its simplicity, really, like, struck him. And so that was kind of the relationship, was like this beautiful kind of, like, small, you know, like, space, space between them. Yeah. So she's not doing that. She seems to be like in a passenger seat in this scene in a lot of ways. And then, you know, like, yeah, I was confused. And I want her, you know, I want her to have, like, the space if she wants to express how she's truly feeling. I mean, and if I, you know, I kind of want the show to do, like, due diligence, to not just be putting someone on camera and being asked questions that they might feel uncomfortable to have to answer, unless also off camera, if maybe she is exploring her feelings about this with someone. You know what I'm saying? You can't just, like, bring someone on camera, pair them up, and then be like, low key, why aren't you getting ready to fuck me or whatever? You know like what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then have someone have, like, a reaction like that, and then not also be doing a whole therapy thing where she gets to find out how she feels, or she's on the road to finding out how she feels, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. The other part of it too is, hopefully they're being ethical and not being like, hey, Georgie, can you just keep coming? Like, well, yeah, because when I heard group dates, I was like, oh no, I was a little nervous. And so you want Georgie to be there because Georgie wants to be there.
Right.
And how much of that, but I don't know. I don't know. I have to wait and see with these two. I don't know. Do you want to tell us what happens in episode 3? Does it move into a better direction?
I don't know the answer yet. Either I got it or nothing really happened.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well, is there anything left to say?
Well, we actually see Shelley in this episode.
Yeah, James.
This is the one she was in? Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. I'm all discombobulated. Oh, wait, this is the poem. I forgot about the poem. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's where she makes her appearance. Mm-hmm. And this is why when I saw who she, the little I saw of her, I was just like, who is she? What is she doing here? We talked about this in the last episode on Chris's show, but I don't know what more do we say about
Shelley? I don't know. The poem was painful. I mean, he's not as talented as Emma. Right? No. Is it just me? I don't know how to assess poetry, but I felt like, or maybe it was the way he was delivering it.
You know, he's performative about this, right? And he, I think there's, you know, a certain kind of, like, writer's brain where if you write down the word butter moon, you're like, oh, it's good, butter moon. Moons look like butter. You know, and then you should be like, oh, that's good. It's a poem, you know, and you start to craft, you know, something that it's just, you know, it's also about playing the poetry game, I think, a little bit. It's interesting. Yeah. They go to, like, what is, like, the oldest, of all time. It was like they describe it as, like, the oldest continuous, not Manover Inn. I don't know why I can't say it. It's not an Airbnb or whatever, a bed and breakfast or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, he also wants to put his arm around her in the confessional. She's like, no, I wouldn't be right. I think it's a little awkward. I'm like, and there she stands up for herself. She's like,
yeah,
arm.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
Yeah. So that made me, I was like, oh, like, that's when I started wondering about her, right? Like, oh, Does she love her? You know,
is this a grift? I mean,
yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know. Famous. I feel like.
You're right. Listen,
yes.
No, you're right. He is famous.
He's on Netflix. He's on a Netflix show.
Yeah, you know what?
His TikTok following, I'm telling you, is big.
Sure it is.
Like huge. Like I would kill for it. Okay. So, I mean, listen, I'll date him. I'm just kidding. I mean, I love you. Dude. I wouldn't, I'm a horrible, bad comedian, but.
For followers. Yeah.
Oh my God. Is Shelly a Dakota? Is Shelly a hanger on? Is she, or is she a Jordan? Oh my God. Oh. Is that even worse?
Oh my God. I don't even know. But now Jesse, honey, I don't know. And Jesse's, you know, Jesse's, who knows? Oh, Jesse. Yeah. We can't hang our hat on Jesse.
No.
We can't hang our hat on anyone in that series. And that's the, like, even now we're like, I guess Connor and Whitney, but the truth is at my core, no. I mean, I like Whitney, but I can't hang my hat on her. I can't, I mean, would I want to hang out with her? No, there's not one person on that show that I think I'd want to hang out with. And even I can tell you right now, like, oh, maybe like, you know, everyone, even like Miranda and Layla, like, fine girls, great girls, still don't want to hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would be so happy to hang out with Connor. I'd be so happy to, I would hang out with Georgie. Because Georgie specifically, I know this was a weird scene. That's why I'm like, I want to know what's happening with her. She is like a very deep kind of like hippie girl, you know, that would be like, that would say something really like poetic and real and like see your true soul. And you'd be like, oh shit, Georgie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Emma, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I love Emma. I don't mean to tell you. Obviously, Madison, Abby, like there's, it's, yeah, it, there's so many lovable people on this show. But yeah, with, you know, with the Shelly situation of it all, obviously, his parents are watching him, like, not let her breathe. And I wonder, like, and his mom says something in the moment, but I'm like, are you also saying stuff like enough when she's gone? You know, because he does need some guidance. I mean, you know, they lived it, like, James lives with his older parents. And, you know, like, I don't know what his, like, social circle is like, you know, in the sense of, And he's having insecure attachment hardcore, just like you can, I mean, and Shelly is, and Shelly looks like a scared prisoner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
She does.
But... I don't know. Do we really think Shelly could is really use? I mean, I don't think Shelly could be using him on that level.
Well, I don't know. She doesn't even want him to touch her.
Maybe yeah, I just thought she was
companionship though. Like maybe she's using him. I mean, you know, maybe it's not nefarious, but maybe it's that kind of like I don't want to be alone. And this person,
yeah, she needs a place to stay. She's in the guest room. She's got her own bedroom.
I wonder too. I wonder what James is like when the cameras are gone and they are in their pajamas watching TV together in the evening. I wonder if he does calm down then. Like if he is, if that's really what, like what we're seeing is the anxiety and everything at its full blast. I'm on TV. And maybe we get a totally different James behind the scenes and that's what she sees.
Does he talk through the movies that they're watching in their pajamas?
Oh, God.
God, you know I hope does. Not.
You know he does. He talks so much. Even if he reduced his talking by 90%, it would be too much.
Yeah. It would really drive Brooke crazy.
Oh, my God. I mean, Brooke's face. I know. at the same time, though, they're going off to a kind of date that is my ideal date.
Yeah.
It's dinner and karaoke. I mean, nothing's better. Nothing.
So in episode 3, do we see karaoke?
No, but it's in that, I mean, not yet. I mean,
that's a bummer.
You're like, what is Shelly gonna sing? I mean, like,
yes.
Does she know any songs?
What is James gonna sing? And then what is Shelly gonna sing?
You got to get with my friend. You're just like,
oh. Yeah.
Yeah, what's he gonna sing?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Cause he hates the patriarchy. You know, he talks a lot about, you know, like, even though he overtalks her, he's like, I think it's weird that in weddings, you know, that a woman has to get given away by their man. So maybe he would sing like, you know, Girls Run the World by Beyonce.
Yeah. I Am Woman.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Or I Will Survive. I don't know. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well.
Well, all right. I think we shall see.
Yes, I feel like we've said it all. Chris, thank you so much for being here and being part of our show. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can subscribe, all that good stuff.
Ah, thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me, babes. So my name is Chris Farah. Of course, my podcast is called Vanity Farah, and you can listen to it on Apple and Spotify. Please go subscribe, follow, give me a little review if you'd enjoy. Social media wise, I am at Chris L. Farah on Instagram, on TikTok. I have a Substack. I have a Patreon. My Facebook group is Vanity Farah. I also have a page, Chris Farah, on Facebook, and all of my videos and my recaps are on my YouTube. Guess what? My name is Chris Farah. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I look forward to like responding to comments. I really like talking to people about these shows and love and the humanity of it all.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. You for introducing us back to the show and deep diving and all that good stuff. Thank you so much. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed our collab with Chris Farah from Vanity Farah. So please go check out her show wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy us and want more from us, please go check out our Patreon. You get weekly bonuses, the show's ad-free, and some few other things. Please follow us on social media, subscribe to the show, tell a friend, give us a 5-star rating and review. There's lots of ways to support us. So we really do appreciate all of you for being here, for listening. Yeah. And we'll see you all next time.
Thanks.
Bye.